Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you prescribing hope for healthy families. We're coming to you live here from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and there are thousands of people here. It's really exciting. So you may hear some background noise because there are thousands of people here at the convention, many walking around, and everybody is networking and really just sharing the great work that they're doing. So that is really exciting. And one of those people, one of our partners that we met, is sitting right here next to me in our pop-up studio. I am so excited today to have Rachel Culpepper here with us. She has been involved with American Heritage Girls since 1995 and has served in a variety of staff roles. She's been a program manager, a brand specialist, a senior director of ministry expansion. She's currently the chief strategy officer, but here is a fun fact for you. She is actually the incoming executive director. And the even funner fact, which I know funner's not a word, but we'll just use it anyway because I'm pediatric, yeah. It is today, is that she is taking over the position from her mom, which is so exciting. And Patty was supposed to be with us today, Patty Garibay, but she is not feeling well. And so please pray for Pat and Patty from Cincinnati is what you told me that they're known as.
Yes.
Rachel, that's the cutest thing ever.
Yeah, my dad's not a fan, but that's how my mom introduces them to everyone.
Does she really wear Pat and Patty from Cincinnati?
Yep.
It's in my head forever.
Ever.
It's living rent-free every time I see them. Even if I don't see your dad, I'll just feel like I need to say that. So, Pat, I'm sorry that you're not a fan, but hey, we're so glad to have you. And Rachel, we're so glad to have you. So would love to just hear a little bit about your life story. And, you know, we're talking about American Heritage Girls. What is your heritage of faith?
Absolutely. So I grew up in a Christian home. I was very blessed to have that and knew Jesus from a very young age. And I think like many people, when I went off to college, I had to really figure out how to own that faith as my own, right? And so that came with some steps and stumbles and things like that. But I'm now married to my husband and have three kids, and we're raising them up to know the Lord and really just surrender our lives to Him. And that's honestly how I even ended up back at American Heritage Girls and back in Cincinnati. We had moved away for 20 years, and the Lord called us back towards family and then opened up a lot of career opportunities within American Heritage Girls, which I honestly thought was kind of my mom's thing. And, you know, as most of us do, we want to blaze our own trails.
Yeah.
And then
my daughter's probably listening to that. You hear that, honey?
Uh-huh.
But it's okay to come back, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, all right.
Well, and I realized I was just kind of being a brat, right? And I just needed to listen to the Lord's calling. And once we surrendered to that, we're back home surrounded by family. We are blessed that every Sunday we get together, my entire family, 21 of us, at my parents' house for dinner. So we're just, our kids are surrounded by cousins and aunts and uncles and just tons of people to pour into them and just come alongside them and honestly reinforce the things that we're saying when they decide that they don't want to listen to mom and dad anymore.
That never happens.
No, no.
Yeah.
So now we've got an army of people that are reinforcing those things with our kids. So very blessed.
How did Pat and Patty react when you moved back to Cincinnati, when you told them that news? How did they respond?
Well, they were so excited. So at that point, like I said, I had been gone for 20 years. Another one of my siblings was gone as well. And so we joke that, you know, they kept praying for us all to come back, and we all came back within 3 months. And so we joke it was sort of like the locust. I'm like, did you really know what you were asking for, all of us coming back to Cincinnati? But it's been really wonderful and honestly something that I didn't know but that they had been praying for. So,
That's so sweet. I can just picture the 21 of you on a Sunday lunch. That really is so special. We have that. There's not 21 of us, but I do that with my husband's family very frequently. But I grew up having a Sunday lunch with my grandmother, my granny. She would always put a roast in the oven on Sunday morning. It was always the same roast without fail. And then whoever wanted to come over for lunch, there was always going to be somebody there. She would go and pick up some of her grandkids to go to church, and then we'd all meet back there, gathering around the dinner table. table. Like, that is just, that is a great family tradition.
Yes.
And I think a point of connection that kids need in a society that's going at the speed of a smartphone, to have those intergenerational connections, to have the wisdom of older generations, encourage the younger generations and the energy of younger
Absolutely.
Generations come back to the older. So what is that like? And looking at your own family, how do you value those intergenerational relationships? And I know that those are even there through American Heritage Girls.
Absolutely. I mean, in our family, Sunday dinners is a priority. For most, you know, working moms, the weekends are the time that you catch up, right? And
yeah.
so it definitely does take sacrifice to be able to kind of clock out at 3 o'clock every Friday. You know, we go to church, we come home, get a few things done, and then go over. But we just value that time. And again, that intergenerational, there's so much to learn from older generations.
Mm-hmm.
And culturally, I don't think that we value the wisdom of past generations.
Yeah.
You know, now that you can Google anything, why go ask grandma?
Mm-hmm.
But we joke that my dad is the OG, like the original Google. And I still,
That's so good.
Yeah, like I still, if I have a question, I call my dad first before Google most times, which I'm like, huh. I don't know if that's common, but that's something I want my kids to be able to have, that they have a generation, an OG in their life that they can go to rather than just always trusting what they can search. So we definitely value that, and I love seeing this in American Heritage Girls as well. We have tons of grandma and grandpas that are volunteering at troops. Some of them don't even have granddaughters in the troop because their grandkids are far away, but they want to give back, and these girls just eat it up. I mean, and even some of the skills that are kind of being lost, like knitting or sewing, we have women coming back and giving back to the girls. 2 years ago, our volunteer of the year was actually a 79-year-old woman who had gone. Actually, technically, she was 80 when she got the award, but when she was 79, she went on her first camping trip.
No way.
Yes, and it was because the girls in her unit begged her. They said, "We want to go camping. We want to go camping." And she did it, which is so amazing. So she was learning from them. They were learning from her. And it was just a beautiful, you know, Titus II kind of moment. So it's something that I think is very, very special about American Heritage Girls, that we can see that intergenerational discipleship happening in a lifetime.
I think that's so true. And I kind of bristle when I hear the narrative of, you know, the older generation, they don't understand what's going on today. They can't relate. They don't know what that's like. But they do know the underlying emotions, the underlying brokenness, the sins that drive a lot of things that happen, you know, in our lives that we're either impacted by personally, whether that's our fault or not. And I think that older people have also some great communication skills. Like,
Absolutely.
They know how to look you in the eye and talk face to face. And that's what the conversations that are going on in American Heritage Girls, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, let's talk about American Heritage Girls, because I know right now, Rachel, there are listeners who are saying, "Oh my gosh, we're in an American Heritage Girls group." And there are others who are saying, "What is that?"
Exactly.
So,
yes.
What is it?
So it is a Christ-centered character development program for girls ages 5 to 18. And it's a program where girls learn tons of things, but we utilize the scouting methods. So if you think about camping, leadership, character development, life skills through badges and achievements, that's kind of what AHG is. But we come alongside the local church, and so the local church charters troops all across the country. So we're in all 50 states. We have over 67,000 members that are all coming together in real life, in real community, and learning new things. And one of the things that I love about American Heritage Girls is there's such a wide variety of activity options. So whether you're a girl that likes cupcakes and sprinkles, or you'd rather be like picking up rocks and climbing trees, there is a place for you in American Heritage Girls. So great place for belonging, to make those in real life connections, just learn who you are and whose you are. And a lot of identity formation going on with those troops, and just speaking truth into these girls week over week.
Well, it's been going on for over 20 years now. Is that right?
Over 30.
Over 30?
Well, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary this summer. So.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so we're rounding the corner to 30.
Yep.
So what is your first memory of American Heritage Girls?
So American Heritage Girls was actually started for my youngest sister. So I was never in a troop per se, but I was in high school when it started. And so I was sort of one of those unwilling volunteers who would, you know, get volunteered for something. So I joke my very first AHG activity was taffy pulling in July.
Okay.
Bees also enjoy taffy just as much as girls. So I joke, you know, that it's only uphill from there, right? But now I have the blessing of enjoying HG with my daughter, who's 11, in our local HG troop. So now I get to go camping with her and kind of see HG from the other side, which has been lovely.
What is that like for you, having that full circle moment, seeing it started by your mom?
Right.
For your sister, and helping, and then helping it and seeing it grow, and then knowing that this experience is coming for your daughter, what has that whole full circle moment been like for you? And now you're the incoming director.
It's so surreal, to be really honest. So back when HG had first started, mom was donated a copy machine so that she could, you know, make whatever she was making at that time, handbooks probably. And it was in our garage growing up, and it was very, very old. And we had to cover it with a blanket at night in order for it to start the next morning. And so it was one of our chores. And if you didn't cover the copy machine, you lost TV or whatever, you know, the thing was less. So now I walk into the office and see that we have an entire room dedicated to a copy machine. And it's like only God could do that. And so it's just really, it's an honor, honestly, to be able to see it come full circle like that. I don't know that we always get to see the fruits of our labor in our lifetime. And so I feel very blessed and honored to be able to come and see it full circle and to think back. And I think it also helps me just value what's going on a little bit more, because I can remember putting the blanket on that copy machine. And so I'm just so grateful for anything that God blesses us with the ministry, because it's just, it's come so far, and only because of His mercy and grace. So.
Is putting the blanket on the copy machine like your family's version of I walked uphill in the snow, you know, to school
Probably.
And walked uphill back, you know? Does your daughter hear that story?
I have to think about whether or not I told her that. No. I don't know. Yeah, because it's funny. I try to be careful about the experience that she gets at HG. Mm-hmm. I want to try to keep it as pure as possible. So
yeah.
Really try to kind of have, I play more of a backseat role in our troop and things like that, because I want her to experience it as Mabel, not as Patty's granddaughter. And so I'll have to go back and ask her if I've shared that or not. So that's a good piece of family lore, though, I think, that we need to keep intact and pass along.
Well, you know, Rachel, I just would take a moment to affirm you as a mom, because having that hands-off approach is something that I think we as moms sometimes struggle with, but that is so important. We need other women in our life that we trust that our girls can go to.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's just hard for, sometimes our time is pressed. Sometimes it's just hard for our daughters to talk to us about things, not because they're trying to hide things from us, but because they care so much about what we think. Sometimes it's just easier to talk through some things in a relationship. They just don't feel that much pressure.
Absolutely.
And sometimes moms can be, you know, like, oh, but I don't want you to share that, or, you know, I don't want you to talk about that. And of course, there has to be healthy boundaries around
sure.
that. But I think intentionally cultivating a group of women you trust who are also reaffirming all of the messages that you're giving them.
Yes.
Like, your daughter knows what you tell her at home. Mm-hmm. But to go and have other women discipling her and loving on her, that's got to be a beautiful experience.
It is really wonderful to see, and just to know that I can send her there, and that when she starts to ask those hard questions, she's going to get the same answer that I would give.
Yes, exactly. So many of you may be wondering, what is American Heritage Girls? You can go to AmericanHeritageGirls.org and find out all about this organization. Now listen, I think girls really need community. You might have heard about the epidemic of mental health, of anxiety and depression. But one of the things I'm hearing in my pediatric community is that even greater than that, we have an epidemic of loneliness. And if you heard something insert in there, I don't know what to tell you, but we're talking about American Heritage Girls, how they're changing girls' lives and leading them toward a more Christ-centered life. So don't go away. We're going to tell you about how you can be involved and how you can join. So don't go away. We'll see you after this break. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
I've been held by a Savior. I've felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return.
Welcome back, friends. That is All My Hope by Crowder, featuring Tarn Wells. And we welcome you back live from the floor of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where we are coming to you here with American Family Radio. And so you may hear some background noise, some excitement, some buzz around all of the great things, the great messages of hope that are going out from this place. I just kind of imagine it like this amazing signal that's going out all around. There is such a positive energy here. And I'm getting so much positive energy from my guest today, Rachel Culpepper. This is so exciting, y'all. She is the incoming executive director for American Heritage Girls. She's been telling her story. Now, for those of you who may be unfamiliar with American Heritage Girls, it was founded by Rachel's mom, who she's taking over the mantle of leadership from. And Patty was just a mom who wanted a faith-based scout-type character development program for her daughter. And this was, and y'all are about to celebrate your, oh my, Texas is coming out today. I feel like we're in Texas. The y'all is there. So if you want to hear Patty's story, I had Patty on last year on May 30th. So you can go and check that out and hear the whole backstory of how she started American Heritage Girls. So I would love for you to do that. But American Heritage Girls is dedicated to the mission of building women of integrity through service to God, family, community, and country. And that is our prescription for hope for you today, is to cultivate a heart for service. All of us want to have kids who grow up and love God and serve others. And you are doing that through American Heritage Girls. So I know there's a lot of listeners today who this is brand new information.
Sure.
So let's talk about some of the nuts and bolts. What does it look like? What could they expect for those who are thinking, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Absolutely. So every American Heritage Girl troop is chartered by either a local church or a Christian nonprofit. So they have basically a sponsor, let's say, that comes alongside. So American Heritage Girls is a very customizable program. So churches really use this as part of their children's ministry or perhaps an outreach to the community. And so they get to make some tweaks to make sure that it's aligning with what they're trying to achieve, what kingdom goals that they have. And each troop is made up of girls from ages 5 to 18. And the typical troop meeting, all the girls come together at the beginning. There's a flag ceremony, announcements, usually some silly songs.
Love that.
Love it, yes. And then they break up into age-appropriate units where they do badge work, service projects, planning for their next, you know, camp out or whatever that looks like. And then they typically come back again at the end for a closing flag ceremony, prayer, and that sort of thing. So it's really wonderful because you get these natural relationships between different age girls. So there's natural mentorship happening. But while also girls, you know, being able to be with their own peers, you know, high school girls dealing with much different things than a second grader. And so it's important that they have that time alone. But one of the things that we love most is that it is girl-centric. So it's just girls that are there. And that's such a precious thing and not something that you can find very often. So it allows them to go really deep and really build a strong support system. One of the things that we hear back from our alumna, the two things that they remember most are their camping trips and their friends. A lot of these are lifelong friends, and we get pictures all the time of bridesmaids and all these things and the wedding. And now that we've been around 30 years, we now have alumna who have girls in the program, which is so beautiful to see these young women who grew up in the program, and they valued it enough now to put their daughters in. And so there are over 200 badges that girls can earn.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a lot. And so, and the way that they are, they're progressive in nature in that a girl can earn them as a first grader, then earn the badge again as a fourth grader, and they're building on those skills that they learned at that other level, and then again as a high schooler. So they get this really long experience. So they can either dabble in things or they can go really deep into things. So we've had girls in the past that they were a little bit interested in rocks, started with a geology badge, and she ended up doing that every program year that she had the opportunity. She's now a volcanologist because that really just awakened something in her that the Lord had placed there. So lots of opportunities for girls to explore new things and just to thrive, to push themselves, to learn leadership. Leadership is one of our key components as well. So girls are planning activities. The goal is by the time they're in high school, the leaders are kind of sitting back with their feet up, just making sure nobody catches anything on fire, right? The girls are planning what they want to do, and they're, you know, making the menu for their camping trip, buying the supplies and that sort of thing. So really preparing them for adulthood. So it's a lot of fun, but a lot of practical, you know, learnings and things as well.
Well, you said there's over 200 badges, so I'm imagining, Rachel, that there's a lot of variety. And you said earlier that there's room for girls of all kinds of temperaments and personalities because girls are so wonderfully different. They have shared experiences of girlhood. Like, we all go to the bathroom in groups, right?
Right.
We all know that as a shared experience of girlhood. But talk a little bit more about that, how they can explore those individual interests.
Yeah, so there are a number of badges that units will work on together. So they will vote usually at the beginning of the year on what they want to work on as a group. So for instance, my daughter's group did a bird badge or ornithology, and then they're doing their ancestor detector together, and I believe they're doing a cooking badge together. But then all these other badges my daughter can do on her own. So we actually have a lot of homeschool families who use the badges as a core piece of their curriculum. Because we have frontiers of skill that address everything from the country's heritage to personal well-being to outdoor skills to even science and technology, you can really build a whole curriculum around it. So girls are doing the robotics badge for their science, and then they're doing the cooking badge to, you know, learn a little bit about homemaking. There's just a really wide variety of things. And it's so customizable to each individual girl that every girl in HG can have an experience that is unique to her and her alone while still enjoying the benefits of community. So it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Well, and you said earlier that when they have these intergenerational relationships, they have leaders in different generations, and things like knitting are cool again, like crochet is cool.
Absolutely.
And so being able to share some of those skills, I'm sure that that is a strength for some of the leaders there, and I'm sure that they learn things too, which is really beautiful.
Absolutely. We actually, just did an event in Dallas with some of our local volunteers before we kicked off NRB, and one of the volunteers shared that her daughter was home crocheting pickles in order to raise money to go to our national convention this summer.
That's precious.
So I love it. She's, you know, incorporating in like kind of old school skill with some entrepreneurship and achieving a goal. It's like so wonderful.
That's a perfect illustration of that generation matching. She's crocheting pickles.
Yes.
I love that. That's absolutely beautiful. Well, Patty, tell us a little bit more about the people who work, the volunteers that work in there. If somebody's listening and thinking, hey, I would love to be involved in that. What would that look like?
Absolutely. So all of our volunteers sign HG's Statement of Faith. We are very committed to making sure that our volunteers are all in alignment so that girls, again, when they go to that troop meeting, they are hearing a consistent message based in values and biblical worldview. And then they each are required to go through a series of trainings because we take youth protection very, very seriously. And depending on the charter organization or the church that sponsors the troop, they may have additional requirements for volunteering. Some you have to be a member of the church. Others you just need to go through an interview process. It kind of just depends. But the very baseline is you need to have a statement of faith and go through all of our youth protection training. So we have moms that volunteer. We have alumna that come back and volunteer. We've even got dads and grandpas that come and volunteer. And they're especially wonderful when they're trying to teach girls some outdoor skills. We've got some girls that are interested in hunting and hiking and all these things. And so if mom's not, you know, feeling equipped to do that, a lot of times grandpa or an uncle will come in and do some of that teaching as well. So we love that intergenerational, experience that's going on. But we often hear from, especially the moms that volunteer, I don't know if this is a girls' ministry. I think it might actually be a women's ministry.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because they're learning so much, not only about themselves, their faith, but they're making this community of women. I mean, we know parenting is really hard right now. Mm-hmm. And so here they're surrounded by a tribe of women who are walking that same journey, share those same values, and the support system is incredible. Even for my own troop, I went through some medical things a couple years ago. I didn't even have to ask. I had meal trains for weeks. I mean, casseroles out my ears, right? And they just are so good at loving each other. So it's really a wonderful thing. So it's so funny because my mom was like, I swore I would never be in women's ministry. And she's like, and now I'm in women's ministry. But it's just a beautiful byproduct of the community that's being built with the girls. So,
well, I do believe that casseroles are a love language.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to put it out there.
Especially, you know, if there's cheese involved.
Yes. I feel like, you know, if you're listening, those five love languages, the sixth should be casserole, or at 100%. Least bringing food, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Rachel, because actually the first time that I ever learned about American Heritage Girls, I had gone to visit the church of a friend. Her soon-to-be son-in-law was getting baptized, and so we all went to be supportive of that. And they said, oh, we want to introduce you to American Heritage Girls. And it was about a medium-sized church, but Rachel, it was a huge group. I mean, these girls came out, and they were so big. It was bigger than the children's ministry at the church.
Yeah.
And they said it really attracted a lot of people from the community. So I want you to talk to church leaders who might be listening and talk about the appeal of this, that you already have curriculum, you already have structure. It would be an easy thing to integrate, and it might be a good fit for some churches.
Absolutely. And I think one of the first things, the concern that pastors often have is, I cannot possibly put another thing on my plate. Pastors are super, super busy. But the beauty of American Heritage Girls is it really is volunteer-led. So there is a troop board that are the volunteers that make sure all the things happen within the troop. And only one member of that needs to be part of the church, the charter representative. And that charter representative is the one that checks off on all those volunteers, that approves any kind of trips that the girls go on and that sort of thing. Often that could be an elder at the church or just a mom who really loves the girls, but the church gets to choose who that is. So there is not a lot that the pastor individually needs to do. And in addition to all the volunteers that are coming into the church, they're getting excellent training. So these are volunteers that then are wonderful to come back on Sundays and be serving in the nursery or in the children's ministry, because they're getting tons of training from HG on soft skills, youth protection, that sort of thing. And so it's really quite wonderful. And we are hearing lots of stories where churches say, 90% of the families in our troop were not from our church. And now we've got all these new families coming in. So a lot of times what we're finding is that we have a generation of parents who are maybe not active in their church currently, but they were brought up in the church. And they want those same values and those same character traits in their kids. So they come, and then they end up getting plugged back into a local church family. And so it's been a really beautiful way to outreach to the community, because we all want the best for our kids. So,
well, what do you see as some of the, that's a great success. What do you see as some of the biggest successes of American Heritage Girls? Looking back since you were founded, what are some of those mountaintops that you can look back and say, yes?
Well, I think all of our Stars and Stripes recipients are definitely kind of the top. So Stars and Stripes is our highest level award, where girls are required to earn a number of badges, and then they need to look out in their community and identify a need that they feel called to meet and figure out a project to meet that need. It has to be a minimum of 100 hours of service. They've got to plan it from beginning to end. Then they need to go through an interview process where they basically explain to adults what they did and why they did it, preparing them again for adulthood. And then they do a reflective spiritual walk essay where they really talk about where has God led them and where do they feel like God is calling them to be. And these essays are incredible, just to hear the growth of these girls, you know, across their time in the HG, and then to think about, like, this is our next generation. And it's really exciting that these are the women that are going to be out there being leaders, being moms, being wives. It's really encouraging. So if you ever need a little pick-me-up, like, the next generation is doomed, like, you just need to read a Stars and Stripes spiritual walk essay, and you'll feel like, okay, it's going to be all right.
You know, all of a sudden, 30 years from now, I can see a museum dedicated to the history of American Heritage Girls. You're going to have a gallery there, and I can see this Stars and Stripes walk where you have some of these essays displayed. And Rachel, you just, I literally have goosebumps right now because you're hitting on something that I really love. There's so much negative talk about Gen Z and Gen Alpha. They're lazy, they're entitled, they have no, I mean, you can go on and just say any negative thing, and every generation has had its struggles. But
sure.
I get so discouraged when I hear kids who, their interpretation of our pessimism about the state of culture is that this is a terrible time to be alive. So how do you see American Heritage Girls providing optimism and empowering them to serve their communities? Make a change.
I think it's really just calling out in them, like, God has put you here at this time on purpose. It was not a mistake. And for such a time as this, we talk about that all the time. And to just say, hey, girls, look around. If you see something you don't like, through God, you can change that. And just equipping them to go out and do that, it's really exciting. And I'm really looking forward, honestly, to the next generation.
I am, too. It's really exciting to hear about this. So, like you said, Rachel, there are troops in every state and in 15 countries around the world through the Trailblazer membership. That is really exciting. A variety of Christian denominations are also represented as charter organizations for troops. So it crosses denominations, and there are thousands of volunteer members across the country helping girls to grow in their faith and cultivate a heart for service, which is our prescription for hope today. Cultivate a heart of service in your family. Enjoy the great outdoors, which we talked about yesterday with Trail Life USA. If you're thinking, what about the boys? Well, we talked about that yesterday. You missed it. Go back and take a listen and have more fun than they can imagine.
Yes.
Rachel, I think girls need to have fun in today's day and age. Today is so serious. There's so much bad news. They need to have some fun. So we're going to tell you more about that. And listen, for all the moms and girls out there who are facing really unique needs, we're going to tell you about Rachel's podcast that may be a really good encouragement for you. So don't go away. We will be right back right here from the floor of the National Religious Broadcasters, and we'll see you on the other side of this break.
Here's Dr. Ben Witherington from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
I like to say a text without a context is just a pretext for whatever you want it to mean. In other words, without the historical context, you can twist that text and make it mean whatever you would like it to mean. And more importantly, Christianity is a historical religion. I would put it this way. Nothing is theologically true that's historically false. The historical foundation of the Christian faith is fundamental to our faith. So, therefore, it follows that studying the historical context of the New Testament is critical to understanding it at all.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
Looking out my window, feeling the crescendo, sunset on a quiet sea. Sitting with the ones that I'll forever love, we're waiting on a flash of green. And even when the nights got cold, you have always held me close. You're the only rock that I could ever stand on. You're the only one for me. The sun goes up, the sun comes down. This old world keeps spinning round. I'm here traveling down this long and winding road. Seasons come and seasons go. They take me high, then leave me low. But I'm still standing on the only rock I know. You're my cornerstone.
Welcome back, friends. That song is Cornerstone by Toby Mac featuring Zach Williams. And we're coming to you live here from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention that's happening in Dallas. And we're here on the floor of the convention. So if you hear the buzz, if you hear the energy, if you hear people walking around, there are thousands of people here looking for ways to share hope with all of you who are listening. And we are sharing that hope with you today. Our hope prescription for you is cultivating a heart of service. All of us want kids who grow up to love God and to serve others. And we're speaking with the incoming director of American Heritage Girls. So excited about that. This is Rachel Culpepper. She is the daughter of the founder. And, you know, tell us a little bit about how that transition is going, Rachel, with your mom, because I'm sure that's hard. She had talked about, you know, stepping back a little bit. And I had shared earlier that I have a friend who said, I'm not retiring, I'm refiring. And I feel like that's what your mom's doing.
Yeah.
She's refiring.
Absolutely. So her big thing is she doesn't want to do another performance review or another budget. So I'll be taking over more of the day-to-day operations, but she still has so much wisdom and value to share. So she'll continue to be speaking. Currently, she is the Saturday host for our podcast, so she'll continue doing that as well. So she's going to be just taking on more of an ambassador role versus a day-to-day operational role. So she'll still be around, which is always, our folks are very excited about that because there was a little bit of a concern at first, like, where is she going? But she'll still be around. So yeah, we're really excited for this next season and just seeing what God's going to do.
Well, I'm sure that people are encouraged to see this legacy of faith growing, because it's one thing for someone to start a ministry, but to have that fruit in their personal life to show that, hey, this is my investment in my daughters. And now that is carrying the ministry forward for another generation. I mean, that's really what we see at American Family Association. Those kinds of things are really good. And one of the things that you're doing to equip the next generation, as you've just mentioned, is the Raising Godly Girls podcast. And I was so excited to record an episode with you earlier this week here at NRB. So tell us about your heart for this and how you're equipping moms.
Sure. So Raising Godly Girls actually started off as a one-minute radio spot. And what we were getting feedback from listeners to say, hey, that was great, but where's the rest of the conversation? They wanted a little bit more. And at the same time, we were starting to get calls from pastors saying, hey, I don't know, how do we deal with this gender issue, or how do we deal with fill in the blank? And we started realizing there was really a bit of a void about talking about cultural topics and how to equip parents around it. As if we look at data, a lot of our parents currently just, they do not have a biblical worldview. And so we were even just figuring out, like, how do we start at ground level to help parents feel like they can wrap their hands around biblical worldview before they can even teach it to their daughters? So the Raising Godly Girls sub-brand was kind of born. So like I said, we have a radio minute that's playing on over 1,200 radio stations around the country. We also have a series of ebooks. And these ebooks really include conversation starters. How do you even start to talk to your daughter about gender? What are the words that are being used? There's a lot of, like, just definitions. So very ground level stuff. You don't need a theology degree to understand it. Very simple, but just really helping equip parents. And then we have our podcast. So it's a 3-time-a-week podcast. On Tuesday and Thursday, I'm joined by another mom, and we just kind of talk through the good, the bad, the ugly of parenting on these different topics. We share our successes. We also share our failures, because none of us are perfect. We don't 100%. Have it all figured out. And honestly, a lot of times we learn best from our mistakes. And then on Saturday, Patty typically interviews a subject matter expert that kind of just wraps the whole week up. So parents leave the week kind of feeling encouraged, not feeling alone, like there's other parents that are struggling with the same thing, and then some really practical takeaways that they can actually implement in their family in that coming week. So we've just had a great response from the Raising Godly Girls. So we kind of talk about it as, hey, if you want some help on this parenting journey, check out Raising Godly Girls. And then if you want a tribe of parents to walk through the parenting journey with us, go find an American Heritage Girls troop near you.
That's so encouraging to me. I shared yesterday when we were talking with Trail Life's director, Trail Life USA, that, you know, I had my girls first, and then my boys, they gave me different kinds of challenges when they were young, because most of what they were doing was destructive. Because and somehow when they got together, their destructive powers just combined. But, you know, the truth is, as girls get older, I ask moms all the time, like, what is your challenge when you have girls and boys? And they'll say, getting girls through those preteen and teen years is really, really hard.
Yes.
There's a lot of drama. There's a lot of emotions. And they're maturing usually faster than boys are. And there are unique issues that they are facing.
Absolutely.
And I know that there's a lot of moms who feel alone. And I shared with you when we did our episode on Raising Godly Girls that I had that experience as a mom. You know, I really felt lost. I felt timid. I felt afraid. And it culminated in conflict until my oldest was 13 and she ended up throwing a book in my head. You know, we had that moment where I pulled over and said, okay, God, I need a new mindset, a new skill set. But I really love the idea of having a community, just hearing some of those topics and knowing I'm not alone.
Yes.
I'm not a failure as a mom. There are other people who are experiencing this in my community of faith.
Right.
Because sometimes there's a more shame and stigma surrounding that. Like, you're like, oh,
absolutely.
I don't want them to know my daughter did this, you know? And sometimes good kids just make poor choices.
Yeah.
So what has it been like? What has the response been like as you've started to put this out there?
It's honestly been so encouraging. I mean, to be really honest, and maybe I shouldn't say this on live radio, but we were like, eh, we'll give it a try. I don't know if it's going to work. We really thought it would last for a couple months, like no big deal. Well, now, you know, we're only a year in and we have over 215,000 downloads, which has just like blown our minds. So clearly there's a need out there. So we're getting a really positive response. Like, we need this. We need to feel like we are not alone. We need to be encouraged to break off shame and to really just tell our stories honestly and authentically, and to come alongside one another in encouragement and accountability and all the things. So it's been really encouraging to hear, and a lot of hard work, to be honest. I mean, even for myself and the host, there's a lot of just introspection that we've had to do because none of us have it figured out. And even battling our own pride and shame to say, you know, you go through this imposter syndrome sometimes, like, well, who am I to be talking about this? Like, if you saw my morning, but really just then to be encouraged, like, no, this happens to everyone. And this is when we pick ourselves up and we pray, Lord, guide the next steps, because I don't have what it takes to do this, but he does. And so I think that's the most encouraging thing, is that regardless of what skill set we come into parenting with, we've got an all-knowing, gracious, and merciful, thank you,
Amen,
God, that will walk us through. And he gave us these kids on purpose. And so just leaning into that has been really encouraging, even just for me personally. So
he did. He gave us these kids for such a time as this.
Absolutely.
For exactly this time, this person. And I think you should say that on live radio, Patty, what you said, because that is just evidence of God's goodness.
Yes.
You know, that's not, that's only the Lord, you know. And I find that, you know, that's been my story too. I think I'm not sitting here. You might look, sometimes people will look at my credentials and they're like, oh, she's got it all together. No. I don't have it all together, but I have found hope along the way.
Yes.
I have found help. I have found encouragement. I have learned, and I will gladly share that with you. As you said earlier, Rachel, the good, the bad, the ugly,
yep,
the successes, and there's plenty of failures, but we can learn from those failures because we have a God who renews, redeems, restores,
yeah,
who forgives, who makes all things new,
yes,
and his mercies are new every single morning. So what kind of topics are you covering?
We have covered, I mean, everything under the sun. Fear and anxiety is the big one that we talk about. Loneliness. We've talked about disordered eating, mental health, Even just how do you deal with conflict within your family? We talked about the importance of putting spousal relationships first. I mean, all sorts of things. And we try to get feedback from our listeners to understand what do they need, what are they looking for, and really try to meet them where they're at. So we actually also get a lot of feedback from girls. Like, hey, what are the things that you're struggling with? What are really hard things right now? And then we try to go alongside and say, okay, well, here's how we can help equip parents to walk their girls through this. So lots of things. I mean, we're talking 3 times a week, so lots of conversations.
Well, you know, Rachel, your perspective is so rich because you know very well the heritage of American Heritage Girls.
Yes.
You know, and I'm sure that you take that responsibility seriously to carry that
yes.
legacy forward. But you're a mom. You're also a businesswoman. Now you're going to step into this executive role. What do you see as the as the landscape of challenges facing girls today?
Oh, there's so many, but I think they come down to really two core things, and really actually probably one core thing, biblical worldview. And then tied to that is identity. And I think what you can't take the two apart from one another and have a good understanding. And it's interesting. So when we first started doing the Raising Godly Girls eBooks, we started with fear and anxiety, and then we did loneliness. And then I was like, well, we can keep going on and on and on. I'm like, but wait, we need to go back and start at the beginning. All of this goes back to biblical worldview. And if we don't have that foundation, we're not going to be able to answer any of these questions. So we actually, it was interesting, it was our third book. It should have been our first book, but I was like, hold on a second. They all come back to biblical worldview because that is the answer to all of these issues that are going on out in the world. So though the issue of the day may change, our answer going back to, and rooted in Christ, the biblical worldview and scripture will always stay the same. So that's sort of now our cornerstone book, so to speak. But I think just making sure that girls understand that the Bible is true and applicable today, tomorrow, yesterday, that unchanging nature of Scripture, I think, is so important. It offers an anchor that is so much more sturdy than emotion, which is what culture tends to offer our girls as their guidepost. And I don't know about you, but my emotions change far too quickly for that to be my guidepost. So very grateful for the everlasting nature of Scripture.
We talked about that in the podcast, how, you know, we walk our girls through all these friendship issues and identity issues, and you have to give your daughters the terrible news that, hey, in your 40s, these issues will still be the
same.
Right?
Yeah.
We still think about our identity and our friend groups and all of those
Absolutely.
Things. And so learning those, that cornerstone, I love that you said that, Rachel. So one thing that we're doing here on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show is once a month we're having Worldview Wednesday because
Wonderful.
We're talking about that exact need. And I say this all the time. It's almost like I gave you talking points and we shared talking points. You know, it's so fantastic. But I know that God is just aligning our hearts because girls do need a worldview that's unchanging. We're
yes.
in a culture that's very turbulent. What is celebrated today is canceled tomorrow. They never know where the goalpost is. They never know what's okay or what's not okay. And if they're constantly chasing after culture, they're just going to be disappointed.
Absolutely. And no wonder our girls are anxious.
Yeah.
I mean, that I get anxious just thinking about that. If,
yeah.
You know, if I'm just constantly in this cycle of, like, trying to figure out, well, what's okay today and what's not, that's anxiety ridden. And so I think really going back to that biblical worldview, that unchanging truth, is the only way that we can help our girls out of this culture of anxiety, loneliness, perfectionism, fill in the blank, all the things that our girls are facing today.
Well, I love how you framed it, how you connected biblical worldview to identity, because your identity flows out of that biblical worldview.
Absolutely.
It's not that I am, you know, fill in the blank, I'm a gymnast, or I am smart, or, you know, all of those attributes and gifts that God might give us, but really seeing, I'm a child of God.
Yes.
I am chosen. I am the apple of God's eye. I am a masterpiece. I'm a delight. You know, all of those things, I think are so important. And that's one of the things I appreciate about American Heritage Girls and what you talked about earlier, Rachel, with how allowing them to explore those different elements of their personality that are God-given and unique, but also grounded to an identity in Christ and a biblical worldview that doesn't change.
Absolutely. And I think it's very freeing for girls. I talk sometimes, I was the girl growing up that was always climbing a tree. I wanted to play flag football with the boys. Like, that was just how God had wired me. And had I grown up today, I probably would have been told that I was a boy. And so I'm really grateful that HG offers a place where girls of all different desires, skills, giftings, wirings can come and feel like they belong and that they're still a girl. So it's really wonderful.
I love that. Well, you know, when I was growing up, I remember being in a high school study hall, and I may or may not have been doing some embroidery. It was when embroidery was not cool, okay? And the study hall teacher was asking, you know, what do we want to be when we grow up? And she got me, and everybody said, a grandma. Ouch, that really hurts. But, you know, I think, what would have happened if I'd had something like American Heritage Girls where I could have said yes? And look at my badge that I have. Like, yes. I am good at it, and I am proud of it, and I feel good about it. Well, tell us again, Rachel, how do our listeners connect with American Heritage Girls? How do they find the truth?
Absolutely. So if you go to AmericanHeritageGirls.org, and then up in the top right corner, there's a troop locator, and you click on that button, and you just put in your zip code, and it'll show you all the nearest troops to you. And if there's not one near you, you can always start one.
Yes, you can.
All you need to do is find a local church that's aligned and wants AHG as part of their children's ministry, and you can get connected.
Fantastic. And tell us about the Raising Godly Girls podcast.
If you go to raisinggodlygirls.com, you can find all links to all the ebooks, our minutes, as well as a link to where to download the podcast.
Rachel, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for everything that you're doing to lead the next generation of girls. And listen, we challenge you to cultivate a heart of service in your family. How can you serve your community? Maybe that your girls can serve through American Heritage Girls, or your boys can serve through Trail Life USA. Listen, wherever you are in cultivating service, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And I'll see you from right here again live tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.